meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline. Coast to coast.
Oh, thank you so much. Adam Carolla's not here tonight now, is he?
No, shockingly. Who is?
He isn't. His friend Jimmy Kimmel is here.
Fantastic.
Filling in for him.
Oh, God bless you.
Because Adam went on a... thank you. Thank you very much. Adam went on a one-day honeymoon.
Although... you and I were at the wedding last night.
That's right.
And we both wondered why he even bothered.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised he took a night off at all.
Yeah, either go on a honeymoon or don't do anything at all. But let me just tell you a couple of things about Adam. I think the home listeners will enjoy this as well. Adam, thank you, couldn't go on honeymoon because he couldn't get the time off from work.
What?
However,
from your work, from your Crankyakers.
He said no. He said from here.
Oh, you're right. It is now the book.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
But he did find time to go to Europe for 10 days with his friends Donnie and Chris.
Yes, yeah.
So he got the 10 days in Paris, by the way. A romantic trip with his friends. And they showed me the video of the trip on Friday night. And it's them in the hotel, the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, lighting farts and videotaping each other. And I said, this must be the first time that that's ever happened in the Ritz-Carlton in Paris, that anyone has ever videotaped his friends lighting farts.
Oh, my God.
So that was Adam's romantic getaway.
With his buddies, yes.
Yeah, and his new wife, Lynette, who's a lovely girl, he took her to the beach for one night. Yeah, they went to the beach.
Why does this not surprise
me? For one night. Now,
hey, you know what's bad about this?
What's that?
Is because I take S for this for my wife. He's such an a-hole to his wife, it spills over onto me.
I know, but you bring it upon yourself, and we're going to get into you a little later, too, my friend. You're not off the hook.
Oh, really?
You made a promise to me many years ago that you broke.
Really?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry, I must have
You remember this promise?
No.
You promised me, and I had the foresight to make you promise that you would come to Adam's bachelor party.
Yes.
You did not
come. Yes, I did.
Dr. Drew did not come. So
I made an effort, though. I did.
Also, a little bit later, I'm going to tell everyone... how Adam cried at his wedding.
What'd you call this? The tears of a clown?
It's the tears of a clown, yes. That's going to be the theme for the evening tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Oh, my God.
We're going to take some phone calls.
The other thing, one other thing that we have to revisit tonight again and again is that last night I got to meet all the suspects, all the players, all the people I've been hearing
in Adam's life. Yeah.
And they're not, they're like... real people. They're substantial.
The whole barrel of monkeys.
The entire, the moms of the guys he grew up with, everybody.
His friend Ray, the notorious Ray. You've met Ray before.
I met Ray's mom last night.
Let me tell you, Ray is Adam's friend. You may have heard the stories of Ray shooting water out of his ass through drive-through windows and into grandparents' hair and whatnot. Ray last night did something that topped any Ray event ever for me personally. His mother... recently, maybe a year ago, had a mastectomy, which means, well, you know, Drew, what it means. It means you had
a breast
taken off and replaced with, what do they make them out of, rubber now or something?
They can rebuild them,
He's poking his mother in the breast and going, look, she can't feel a thing. Look, Jimmy, look, she can't feel a thing. And she's not turning around, and he's poking her in the replacement breast.
Wow.
Horrifying.
Oh, my God. Your mom was there.
My mom was there, yeah. Okay. I didn't do that to her.
No, she'd kick your ass.
Yeah, no.
She'd give you a hook.
That would not go over in my family.
Oh, my God.
But in the Ray family, it's normal behavior, and in fact, it's applauded, which we do. Take some calls.
All right, or, But I was just going to say that the people that Adam has, the populating his brain, the representation of the people that I met last night, not the same as the people themselves.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a wedding, though. Everyone's all dressed up, and their parents are there.
And producer Ann spelled it out very nicely, because she met everybody, too, and we were both shocked.
Were they worse or better?
Way better.
Way better. Oh,
way
no.
better. Than
Listen,
way
you ever. Haven't seen these people in their natural environment.
I have seen them in the natural habitat, but Ann leaned over and said something very wise. She said, you know what? It's not them. It's him. It's all him. It's in his head.
It's them, too. It's the whole barrel of monkeys over there.
Really?
There's some, yeah. There's, I don't know what happened. I don't know what goes on
some
here.
Napalm.
You know, you hear stories about Hollywood, and you think, oh, these Hollywood kids are crazy. Because Adam grew up here in Hollywood.
Well, North Hollywood, though. That's not even Hollywood. That's
yeah, but
Van
people
Nuys.
In the rest of the country don't know that. And you think of, you know, the kids on 90210 and snorting coke and doing all this kind of,
No.
Throwing crap in each other's hair.
Yes.
That's
yes.
No. How Adam was
if you've
running.
Ever gone to the zoo and stood around the chimpanzee cage, that Adam. Was Adam in high school. There it is.
And put them in suits, and he had the wedding last night.
Right.
All right, let's take a real Adam call to begin things. So it's Debbie in Arcadia Show on line one, I believe. Hi, Debbie.
Well, you got to push the button.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know it's been a long time since you've been on radio.
Yeah. They didn't let me push the buttons when I was on the radio.
No doubt.
Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Well, you know, Adam's not here. I think you'd enjoy this call. Tell him what your problem is.
Wait, before you do, Jimmy, your new show, when's it coming up? Before we go.
What new show? Oh, Super Bowl Sunday, not for a long time. Right now, people should really just be turning off the radio and putting on Mantle and or Crank Anchors in a half hour. That's all I care about.
No, unacceptable. But in Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl arrives.
Super Bowl Sunday.
They can see you.
On ABC.
At what
yes.
time?
I don't know. No, it'll be midnight. Midnight every night.
It's replacing Politically Incorrect. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Midnight and except Sunday. It's
is this going to have a name other than Jimmy Kimmel in the
we
title?
Don't. We have no idea. We don't know. Jimmy and Adam's Friends. That's going to be the deal. It's going to be an exhibition of Adam's Friends every night. All right, Debbie, tell us about your boobs.
Well, they're kind of big, and I don't like it because I look so out of proportion.
Well, tell us about your weight and your height and all that stuff.
Well, I'm 119 and I'm 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
And so my breasts are almost like a double D.
Bouncy. Really?
What?
Nothing.
Okay, so, you know, I'm not, this may surprise people, I don't know how the sizes work. Is that like, double D, is that like a basketball? I mean, is that like two basketballs? Or smaller?
Kind of something like that.
My question always, why isn't there a double B and a double C?
Oh, there aren't?
There's a double A.
It's ABC.
Double A.
Oh, there is. Yeah.
So
that's
you
like
have
a convex cape. No, just kidding.
You have gigantic breasts, and I'm guessing that you want to do the unthinkable and have them made smaller.
Well, the only reason I want to make them smaller is because, like, I come from a family where, like, big breasts are the in thing, and I know by the time when I'm, like, my mom's age,
yeah.
I'm going to be so huge because she has back problems from her breast.
Right. That's a common. That is the reason to have reduction is the deep bra strap groove, the neck problem, the back problem.
Right.
In thing in your family.
Yeah, she has like indentations in her shoulder.
Right. I come from a family where we're yelling at each other over Chinese food is the in thing. I just had dinner with my parents and the lemon sauce was separated from the lemon chicken. And there was a real nasty exchange about the whole thing because the container melted and everyone was yelling at each other, including me, and I wonder if this goes on in other families. I'd rather have double DB in thing in my family, I have to tell you.
See, like, the thing is, like, I kind of don't mind it now, but they seem to be getting bigger yearly, and I don't want them, I'm only 20, so I don't want them to be, like, bigger than my head by 25, so...
it's really unlikely that we get really at all bigger after 21, so just hang in, see where you end up. And if you still don't like it, then or if you get physical problems, then there's very simple, well, not simple, but there's...
Well, what can I do now for, like, the meantime?
Well, on Saturday, you could have married Adam.
You blew it.
But it's too late for that now.
There's a procedure where they remove some of the tissue and they move the nipple around things, and it's something you can do if you need to.
But I heard you say before that, like, if they mess around with the nipple, then you can't breastfeed. Like, you won't produce milk?
You didn't hear me say that.
We talked to someone that had that problem. It's not my understanding that is necessarily the thing. I think you risk that, but I think most of the time they successfully sort of protect all that.
Is there nothing I can do without the surgery? Because I'm kind of afraid of that.
No.
You
can lose weight. I mean, really watch your calorie intake because it is mostly fat.
And let me ask you this. I know this will seem like nonsense to you, but I wonder. Because the breasts, they get long thanks to gravity, right?
Yeah.
If you were to spend 12 hours a day upside down,
would they go upward?
Would it equal out and they'd stay exactly where God put them when you were 20 years old?
I don't think so.
Well, it's worth a try. Debbie, I'd like you to experiment with gravity boots, all right?
Okay.
Good luck with your breasts.
Okay, thanks.
All right, let's talk to Dan next. Dan, his girlfriend beat him up at school. Now he's a nerd.
What?
Dan?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Dan.
Oh, hello.
Hi, your girlfriend beat you up at school?
Basically, yes.
You pansy? And now you're a nerd. You were a nerd beforehand. I got news for you. What happened? Tell us the story.
I was in the cafeteria at the lunch hall.
Uh-huh.
And she was mad that I missed an important date. Came in, started kind of yelling at me in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I yelled back, and she basically swung at me. I kind of ducked, tried to kind of push her away, and then she broke my nose.
Nice. What is up with her that you were, I mean, why are we involved with someone like that?
Well,
I don't know.
Because there's someone that'll be involved with him. What nationality is she, Dan?
Just white.
Dan sounds like on the Brady Bunch when Greg had to make that song.
No. God. Where were her ancestors from? So yeah, you got to learn to talk to Loveline Call.
Yeah.
There's a special code.
She's Irish.
Okay.
Was she drunk?
No.
She was not. All right. Well, let me just tell you what my father told me. And this is good advice, I think. When a bully is picking on you at school, you got to beat him up in the front of the whole class. And I think the same holds true for your girlfriend, right, Drew? No?
Well, so says Mr. Kimmel.
Yeah, you're
Dan,
screwed.
Just count your blessings that you're away from this yeah. Nut job.
I think you just need to drop out. Are you still going out with her?
No, she's dead.
She's dead?
She got in an accident.
All right, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's a bogus call.
All right, let's go to Sean. Sean from Maryland, he's 17 years old. What's your story, Sean?
Hey, so, like, I have this friend, Alex, that I've known since, like, you know, spring of my sophomore year. He's a junior this year.
Right.
And, I haven't seen him all summer, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw him, like, last Saturday. I went to this concert, right, this youth event at my church. And his girlfriend is this, that he brought his girlfriend, her name's Jennifer, and, like, I've known her since, like, when she was a freshman, like, in the...
All right, so what happened?
What happened, Sean?
I'm sorry. Basically, last Saturday, I brought them home, and when I dropped Alex off, and I went to take her home, long story short, we had sex in my truck, basically.
Really?
And, so my question is, like, I mean, I'd kind of like to tell him, because she says she's not going to. Like, I've talked to her, like, once after that, like, on Sunday.
You want to tell him?
I want to, yeah, be able to tell him.
Why do you want to tell him?
Just to get things out in the open, I guess.
No, yeah, right.
Is that ever the real reason?
No, ever.
I couldn't imagine wanting to tell.
Right. You have, that's why you have to explore what the motivation is. It's not a natural thing to want to do.
I have a friend. I don't want to mention his name, but his name's Jim Brusca. And just this week, I was at his house. He is now dating a girl that one of his buddies dated 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they almost had a fist fight over it last weekend.
Right.
They almost came to blows.
So the point is, you could imagine what it would be like if he was still dating her.
Yeah, so you must not like this buddy of yours that well.
That or you want to break him up so you can get her.
No, I mean, I just kind of feel guilty about it, you know what I mean?
So... To what? To relieve your guilt, you have to punish him.
I don't know.
Yeah. Don't tell him. It's not necessary. Tell him. You think she's going to tell him?
She said that she didn't really think she was, no.
Yeah. I don't know why you need to tell him.
Stay away from both of them.
I mean, the thing is, she's going to know, though.
How's he going to know?
I left her rectum on the size of a mason.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
What did he do?
Bogus call.
Oh, another one? Boy, I must attract these things.
You do.
All right. Let's go to Nick. Let's see what jackass call he has. Nick, you're 18 years old. Nick says if his girlfriend is on her period and he finishes inside her, can she get pregnant? That is a common thing that teenagers think.
Isn't this one of the questions on Win Ben Stein's Money?
Yes, it was. Yes. Ben didn't know the answer either. So... Nick, you want to know if you can not use protection during that time of the month?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What do you think the answer is?
No, you probably. I don't know. I heard that if you have sex on the period, you can't get pregnant.
That's not true.
It's not. You can.
You can.
No.
What are the odds, though? Is it very likely?
It's not very likely, but it's possible.
Listen.
Could you give me like an odds, maybe like?
Why?
I'm just
if it's
curious.
One in a million, you want to take it?
Okay.
All right, at 18 years old, really, how jaded can you be sexually that sex with a condom is not good enough for you?
Yeah, I agree with
you. I mean, it's like, oh, this condom, I've had enough of this thing.
I've always said we got to invent a condom loader. You know, something that a guy just
shoots onto the penis?
Puts his penis into it, just...
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why that hasn't been invented is almost weird.
Hey, you got to get on the phone. You got to make some calls instead of seeing patients all day. Yeah. Nick, wear the condom. If she's on her period, she still has a good chance of getting pregnant, no matter how much smaller it is. If it's a full moon, though, go crazy. Go at it. Don't bother. All right, let's talk to...
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk to Anne. Anne is 40 years old. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Hi, Anne. What's up?
I have a question. My husband and I were both products of parents who are alcoholics. Pardon me. We were both abusive children. He physically, me sexually. We both had very wild youth.
Good times.
As far as with drug use and stuff.
Yes.
But as adults, I mean, we've both been in our marriage for 16 years. There's no alcohol, no drugs, no anything like that. And I was wondering if we've broken the cycle at this point and if our children are less likely to have problems because
it's an interesting question. I would bet that most of your drug and alcohol use was not, in fact, part of addiction, but the product of surviving abuse and trauma. And then coming from systems where people use substances as a way of feeling better, regulating their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would predict that neither of you, presumably that neither of you are take any drugs, any alcohol right now. Is that right?
I mean, I might drink maybe 5 times a year, and it's usually maybe 3 drinks. I don't drink to excess.
You have no momentum with it. I think most of that use was you trying to regulate yourselves, trying to find solutions in your adolescence rather than the expression of any addiction. So I would predict, if you ask me to predict something, a kind of sophisticated, make a sophisticated conclusion about someone I'm talking to for a minute on the telephone, but let me just say, the probability is that neither of you have the gene for addiction, so you can't give that gene to anyone if you don't have it yourself.
Okay. And that was my concern, is if we, since our families are very messed up and...
Yeah, but your relationship isn't. You guys have found security.
Oh, no, we have a fantastic relationship.
Yeah, you guys are stable and you've sort of solved some of your problems in this relationship. And the probability is that you'll have a secure attachment to your kids and they'll grow up okay.
That is Drew's prediction. I predict you will have a litter of murderous crack fiends.
But here's the other thing.
Oh, thanks.
Do not discuss with your kids what you did or did not do in adolescence, in childhood. It's not their business.
You don't tell them anything.
Yeah,
in fact, you lie to them.
No,
right?
You do not lie. You just tell them it's not their business, not for discussion.
Yeah, but doesn't that mean, I did everything?
It turns out it has a dramatically different impact on their behavior.
Really?
Than sitting down and going, here's what I did, here's what was bad. The only people that should be telling the stories are the people that are addicts and the kids are participating in their recovery.
What if you host a cable show and you actually smoke pot on television and get drunk?
You're screwed.
You're screwed. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So basically keep it quiet, which makes me feel good because basically in my whole life, most of the people that I am around in my life have no idea of what my childhood was like, what my youth was like, and my craziness.
It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business.
That's what I thought. But I wanted to make sure, And the children do ask me about drugs, and I do talk about how bad they are for your body.
You talk about how bad they are. You tell them what your expectations are for them, and that's it.
And when
they say, that means that you did it, I know. It's like, whatever. That's not what we're talking about.
Don't let your grandparents or your parents
get near
them. The kids.
Yeah, so,
I don't let them near my children because of my sexual abuse.
Right. You're practically a crack whore, and you can't. Please do not breathe a word of this to the children. All right.
Oh, okay. All my teeth are missing, and I won't touch.
Thank you.
All right. You're lucky.
All right. Ian is on the phone. He's 17 years old. Uses cocaine every other day, and gets nosebleeds. Ooh, yeah. That's
good time.
Yeah, that's your number one problem, Ian.
Yeah.
Use cocaine every other day.
Just about.
Why not every day?
Not that much money.
Oh, pretty much almost no one uses cocaine every day.
Really?
Yeah, the worst addicts are still just a couple
every other day?
4 days a week. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
So, if you had more money, would you use every day?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
You just go on longer binges.
Yeah. And you want to know if there's any long-term effects of this. And what do you think the answer to that question is, Ian?
I know there are long-term effects. I'm wondering what they are.
Stroke, heart attack, kidney failure.
Okay.
And true Hollywood stories.
And cocaine is one of the most serious addictions out there, and it will progress, and you will have more consequences. When you go on your little binges, the typical cocaine binge, particularly if you get into smoking cocaine, is slowly isolating by yourself in a dark room, curtains pulled, starting to hallucinate, getting terribly paranoid. And it's the interesting thing about cocaine. When people get paranoid of cocaine, it's always about uniformed officers.
Really?
Always. Police, Army, FBI. The speed addicts, The paranoia takes months to develop. They can be using it just 2 days a week and slowly develop this paranoia that's always focused on their friends and family.
Wow.
And neighbors and coworkers.
When I smoke pot, I dream about ponies.
Are you pulling like a Cinderella's wagon?
No, they're just
wagon?
Floating around.
I see.
Ian, is there any chance? Are you ready to get off of cocaine or no?
Yeah.
You think so? So, Drew, what is? I mean, really, you know, I know we say, you know, call it. What should Ian do tonight? After he hangs up the telephone.
Live in Torrance. Call the Del Amo Treatment Center.
The Del Amo Treatment Center?
Yeah.
You're writing this down? You know how to spell Del Amo?
Yeah.
And there's a couple of good doctors over there who deal with addiction.
Ian, really, really call them, though. Because you know this is not good for you, right?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's really, really not good for you.
Well, yeah. Probably you're smoking pot every day, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, see.
Yeah. Well, that's all right, right? No, it robs you of your ambition.
It's the pot is the main drug. Pot is the one he loves. The cocaine is just trying to deal with the depression from the pot.
Can you rap, Ian? Are you a rapper?
No.
Yeah, you need to give up the pot then. All right?
Okay.
Only people that rap are allowed to just smoke pot every day?
Yes.
Even Snoop has given up pot, I heard.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
That's what I'm saying.
Ian, you're going to call? Where are you going to call after you hang up?
Treatment center.
There you go.
All right. For
okay.
You think he's really going to call?
Mm-mm.
Maybe we should get his phone number and check back on him in a couple
of
days.
All right, guys.
All right. Get Ian's phone number. Do we need to take a break or am I going to lose
Sarah, don't call me Tara.
All right.
God damn it. Take Ian's phone number, call back next week.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, though.
Yes.
Very exciting. I'm going to tell you about Adam Carolla crying at his wedding.
Which is very comical.
Which is unbelievable. No. Sounded something like that.
It did. And he hugged me at the end.
I
totally flipped out.
Really? Yeah. He does that every once in a while. He does do that every once in a while.
He hugged my wife. He hugged me. I was like, what's going on here?
He does do that every once in a while. And we will be right back with that on Loveline. LOV191. That's the phone number. If you have a problem, dial it. Dr. Drew will try to help you. I'll make fun of you. It's the way it works. I'm Jimmy Kimmel filling in for Adam Carolla, who got married on Saturday night. At long last, it was a long time coming. His poor wife, Lynette. Did you stay for the toast?
I did not.
I went through a list of things that she'll be hearing about repeatedly. Not that she doesn't know, but the heated sofa and the crotch-sniffing dogs men.
He takes that stuff home?
Oh, it's
you have to hear that stuff
home all day long.
Oh, my God, Jimmy, I'm
so
sorry.
The worst thing is when he goes into the writer's room and he monopolizes a good 40 minutes of their time.
Pontificating,
using
going
them
on.
As annoying. I mean, I remember one day I was like, all right, yes, the heated sofa is a good idea. Okay.
Go home. Go to work.
Let's do something. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's bad. And, you know, I was not invited to the actual wedding ceremony. You were not invited to the ceremony either.
Although I know that his buddy, who had been ordained that afternoon online, performed the ceremony.
Yes, his friend Chris did perform the ceremony. And we were not invited, but his family was there. His immediate family was there to see it. And I had a suspicion right off the bat, and I said it to him. I said, I believe that the reason we're not invited to this wedding is because you do not want me to see you cry. And he laughed nervously, and I thought, wait, maybe I hit upon something here. And then sure enough, we got reports back, and by reports, I mean Ray during Adam's toast going, he cried at the wedding! He cried!
Oh, no.
And,
his sister was the first one to arrive from the wedding party. That was the first thing she reported.
All the girls was like, and he cried. They're all, and I'm just like, he did he?
Jimmy was actually taking over-under bets as to whether or not he would actually complete the ceremony. At the reception before the wedding party arrived.
It's sad to see a man go down like that. I mean, I know, I know it probably meant a lot to Lynette and probably meant a lot to his family that he cried, and it really would have shocked me because the closest I've ever seen him to that was when we were sharing a bed and he couldn't masturbate that night. That was it.
You told me he cried when he went into the shower after you had jacked off into the pool
of
water.
But it's hard to tell
into
the tears.
Slow draining.
When the shower is going.
Oh, my God.
Yep, so Adam's off the market.
Yeah. Was he ever really on the market?
No, no, he wasn't. He was in the spoiled food section. You know that
yeah,
one?
Yes.
Things are about to expire.
Yeah,
and they want
the
you
day
to
old stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
He right. doesn't. He does no engine going. it's like it didn't matter.
Let's see. Oh, let's talk to John because he's got genital warts, cancerous genital warts. Hey, John. Hello?
John?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to hit the top one. John.
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
You're 24 years old. You have a cancerous strand of genital warts, and he wants to know if he can have sex without spreading them.
No, wait a minute. John?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a piece of advice, John.
Oh, is this a bogus call?
No.
Oh.
Don't read what's up here.
Oh.
Those are meant as... It gets confusing because callers never even know what we're talking about. They never communicate accurately to those guys. These are sort of prompts for us.
I got you. So, John, what's your story?
Well, I don't know, I guess
I have the measles.
I've had them for a while, I guess. I probably know who I got them from. I know I have them because my now ex-girlfriend had some abnormal pap smears and had a colon, where they take off the tip of the cervix to prevent cancer.
Right, to take off the cancer, yeah.
You can catch genital warts that have cancer?
Well, this is again more evidence why we shouldn't be talking to our callers.
So
they're not reading what they try to communicate to the screeners. Genital warts, there's many different kinds,
right.
But a certain variety causes cervical cancer in women, for
right.
sure. And in fact, probably is the predominant cause of cervical cancer. So when a woman says she has cancer or precancerous cells, all that kind of stuff, it's genital warts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so John believes he may have spread that. Yet, have you seen warts on yourself?
I have not. I mean, I've always had some bumps on the end of my penis, but I mean, I went to a clinic when I found out that she had it, and you know, I asked, you know, if I had it, and they're like, well, there's one. They told me there's no way to test me.
There really is not a good way to do it for you. Although, you know what I did to Adam? Adam claimed he had a pristine penis.
Yeah, I was
listening. You heard that show?
Yeah, you put the black light on his penis.
Yeah, put 4% acetic acid on there, and you shine this black light
I've
on.
Done that to him, too. Yeah.
Suspicious.
Yes, that was.
And but you found nothing on Adam.
Nothing.
Is that correct?
Well, he had a stunt penis.
And you thought for sure that you were going to find something.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's
and
unusual.
Now, John does not have cancer. Does John have cancer?
No, it doesn't cause cancer in
John, Amanda. Did you think you have cancer?
No, I don't think I have cancer. My big concern is I've done a lot of research on this after I found out about it. And, I mean, I know that condoms aren't, you know, I know they're somewhat effective, but I know, you know, from what I've read, it's, you know, there's nothing to prevent it. And there's no way that I can, I mean, I'm actually suffering from depression from causing this to this young lady.
All right. Right. Somewhere between 30% and 50% of the people you hang out with have wart virus, okay?
Right.
Just John or everyone?
Everyone. It's extremely
common. Maybe he's in some club or something like that.
It's extremely common. And I think you need to be honest about this. I think we need to wear a condom religiously, but that's all you can do.
Right. But, I mean, that's not 100%.
It's not 100%.
You know, so then, I mean, I don't know if I could live with myself if I, you know, cause cancer in someone else.
Well, what if you're honest with someone before you have sex with them and they choose to take that risk, and that's their choice?
All right.
Yeah.
And then if I can ask one more question, I mean...
It's hard enough to get laid.
What's that?
Say I do, like, get to the point where I want to get married and then, you know, if we ever want to have children, then I have to...
Then your wife will deal with this. Listen, the cancer is completely curable.
Right. Well, I mean, my ex-girlfriend has gotten to the point where she had that one surgery. She actually has to go in for another surgery, which might leave scar. Like, I guess they have to go higher up, and it might scar to the point where she can't have children.
Is she getting pap smears twice a year?
Yeah.
She's been taking care of herself.
That's how they found it, you know?
Well, usually if people take care of themselves properly, this can be easily controlled. Okay, so it's really a matter of being vigilant and treating the things as they come up early.
Okay.
And the other problems develop if people pretend nothing's going on or ignore it or wait a year or 2 years, then it's...
John seems like a good guy, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most guys probably still get
listen, I can't believe he called Loveline.
That's right. Robert is from Long Beach. Robert, you're 21 years old. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I have a question. I went with some friends last week to TJ.
Tijuana?
And, yeah, Tijuana. Mm-hmm. And My friends, we were in one of those bars with the prostitutes, actually. And they went off and had sex with him. And I resisted, but I got oral sex from one of them.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't resist completely.
Yeah, of course not.
Adam, is this you? Oh, no.
That's his honeymoon in Tijuana.
Yeah.
So you got oral sex from a prostitute in Tijuana. You know, those Tijuana hookers are pretty clean. People, you know, there's a lot of stories about it. That's just Hollywood. You don't have to worry about those girls.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, my question was, I got it without any protection. I mean, usually, I guess you get it with protection.
Good times.
And so I wanted to know, what are the risks of receiving oral sex, right?
Well, first of all, you're pretty safe because you're probably the first guy she ever gave a BJ to without
penis has never been in her mouth. So yeah, so.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Yeah. Well, what so can you get
you
from?
You can get everything you can get from vaginal.
Really? It, yes. But just as easily, or is it really
you
hard?
You can't get the viral diseases other than herpes as easily. You can't get hepatitis C and HIV. You can get it, but not as easily as vaginal intercourse.
Okay. Really? Should I do something about it, or
if you get any symptoms, you might want to get tested in 6 months.
Now, can the girl get it from you doing that?
More readily. She's more likely to get the viral stuff.
And what would you get? Would you get, like, of the mouth, or you get it of the genitals?
No, you get the mouth.
Of the mouth.
So you can get chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis of the mouth, and or you can get hepatitis. Well, hepatitis C, probably not, but you can get HIV.
So what does he have? What does Robert have then?
Should we try to
predict? We don't know.
Karnak tells me. Oh, he's clear.
Yeah.
So the risk is higher for the one that gives it, or?
Receive. The receptive partner always is getting more stuff, more fluids, right? Now, the mouth is an inhospitable environment for many of these viruses, but what you deliver, unload, gets to the stomach, and on the way there, it passes the esophagus.
Well, if you're lucky, it gets to the stomach.
Right. Yeah. And that's where stuff can happen.
Yeah, because I always heard that, I mean, even if you received it, I mean, it wasn't a high risk.
It's not high risk. That's correct, but it is a risk.
So it's better just...
You know, Trojan's supposedly coming out with a new product that's specifically designed for oral sex. I'm anxious to see
really?
What this is. Yeah.
Oh, that's not
flavor
gonna fly.
Or something.
What could you? What could they do?
I don't know.
Yeah, flavoring, no, it can't be good. Somebody's gonna wind up choking to death on one of those.
I think if we add this condom loader to it, I think maybe it'll work.
All right, we had enough of you, Robert. Shannon from Michigan. She's 22 years old. What's up, Shannon?
My question is, okay, my dad is like passing away. I mean, he's like going through all the stages of like liver disease and everything. And, like, me and my dad haven't always had the greatest, like, relationship and stuff. And, like, recently I've started going over to my parents' house a lot more. And I don't know what to do. My question is, like, what do I do to help prepare myself for when he dies?
Well, what's the nature of your problems with your father?
Is he an alcoholic?
Yeah.
And this is alcoholic liver disease he's dying of?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I was the one who always got the abuse, like, from my dad.
What kind of abuse? Physical or mental? Or
physical and mental. With mm-hmm. the physical came the mental.
Mm-hmm. And what are you feeling now?
Now I'm just, like, I go to bed every night crying because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help him or nothing.
You can't help him.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I think I would do in this situation. I think it's probably easy to speculate, but it is an excuse. Right? I mean, to a certain extent.
What?
That your father, that her father has alcoholism, and maybe he wouldn't have been like that if he didn't have that disease.
True. That's true.
And maybe your father is a victim of that disease, just like anyone is any victim of any disease, and you know, some of the side effects of that are that you're abusive, potentially. And
I don't think you should dismiss.
Come on, Drew, go with me.
All
let's
right,
let's try
going.
To make this a nice
All
ending
right.
for her.
All right.
But, you know, if I think I would, being an optimist and trying to paint the rosiest of pictures, would say the reason Dad behaved like this was he was
his
a drunk.
His disease, yeah, his disease.
Because of this disease that he didn't ask for, and since he's dying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and forgive him, and I'm going to let him know, and then hopefully he's going to come back with forgiveness or asking for forgiveness. And I think that in the long run, you'll... Yeah, I don't know how you go wrong with that.
No, I think forgiveness absolutely is an important thing to be able to do, but I don't want her to sacrifice herself and try to minimize the impact he has had on her by forgiving him.
But I don't think that anybody says to themselves after their parents pass away, Boy, I really wish I would have given him a piece of my mind. I think it usually goes the other way. It
usually goes the other way.
But I have given him a piece of my mind. He knows how I feel. But
good.
I just want to know what to expect after he dies. I mean, I don't know, like...
What? Well, one of the common things that happens, that's why I was trying to figure out how you're feeling about all this, that one of the common things that happens is that the fantasy that you're going to be able to resurrect the dad of your dreams is forever lost. But that's a fantasy anyway. It's never going to happen.
Right.
Okay, the fantasy that you're going to be able to make things right with dad, or that dad's going to change and be the person you used to love, or before he got his disease, or you always imagined he could be or should be or was, that's BS. That's not who he is.
I know that.
That's what's inside your head. That's not who he is. You have to be very adult in relating to your dad and realize he is who he is, accept that. Be a good daughter. Make your peace. Be forgiving. But realize that those pieces that are left inside of you are things that you have to solve on your own. Okay? Not with him.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, but,
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's what therapy's good for.
But, I mean, how do you go through getting therapy? I mean, I don't have insurance. I don't have nothing. So how...
A lot of people, you know, I think that's it's a big hurdle for a lot of people, having to pay that,
yeah,
even if it's $40 a week.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a lot of people.
You know what? It may be important to you, Shannon. Think of all the other things you do yourself for happiness. This may be something that... The problem is that it makes you unhappy for a while before it makes you happy.
Right.
And that's why people resist it, because they have to get through a lot. They have to slog through a lot of crap. And they think, yeah, I'm paying $40 for this. I'd rather spend $40 on, you know, a hot dog.
Where would you go find this that was...
Do you have a doctor,
cheap.
Shannon?
No.
Where do you live? What city do you live in?
In Auburn Hills right now, but...
Michigan?
What's the nearest big city?
Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you moving into?
New Baltimore, which is another suburb, I guess, of Detroit.
Detroit, I think you just have to call, you know.
You have to do a little bit of
legwork.
You
have to do some research. You get some recommendations, but you need somebody.
You start, call a hospital, right?
Call a hospital, ask for a general therapist, a psychologist.
Yeah,
they what?
They tell you, well, you have to come in and then we can recommend somebody. They say they won't give any information.
All right, well,
the hospital say that?
Hospitals say that, yeah.
Who are you going to go in and see if they don't recommend somebody to you? Hospitals.
Regardless of that, you can't go down there?
But they have to recommend somebody to
right.
you.
Right.
Right?
Listen, you got to figure this out, Shannon. Listen, I have enough trouble.
If you need to go down to a dispensary or something and be seen to get the proper referral, then that's what you need to do.
I'm trying to get shelves put in my laundry room, and it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I mean, I know she has problems with her father dying and all, but moving the gas line over from one side of the wall to the other is a major pain in the ass. And I don't want that to be discounted.
Please, I don't want to hear any more construction stories.
All right.
That's the one thing I was looking forward to not having to discuss this evening, all right?
I apologize.
And not about people that do construction either, okay?
Bah, 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 bah.
Yes.
All right. Yes, let's talk about Adam crying.
Yes, let's do it.
I hope he's listening tonight.
And him hugging me.
Oh!
I didn't know what to do. He must have felt like he was hugging an ironing board.
Let me just say, he did not hug me at the wedding last night, but he did hug me at the end of the bachelor party. I did get a very emotional hug from him in the Southwest Airlines.
I can deal with the fact that I am gay now.
Yes,
that's right. All right.
You know, he calls you his life partner.
I know. You know what?
I coined that term.
I was a little jealous. Because it should have been me.
No, it is you. You're his life partner.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't tell Lynette that. Because I don't think I would fit in the dress. Take another call?
No, we're going to break.
Take a break. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's going to take a break. We're going to laugh at Adam a little more. I'm Jimmy Kimmel. We'll be back with Loveline. LOVE-191. All the phone lines are jam-packed with kids with problems. I'm Jimmy Kimmel, filling in for Adam Carolla. Got married this weekend with Dr. Drew. You've been married for how long?
10 years.
Oh, so you didn't get married this weekend?
No, Adam did.
And where'd you go on your honeymoon?
Paris.
You went to Paris for how long?
2 weeks, and then part of south of France.
Adam went
to Paris, too.
Anna went to Paris with his friends Donnie and Chris about 3 weeks ago.
And sat around lighting farts.
Yeah, that's right, while his wife worked. And then he wasn't able to take any more time off to go on an actual honeymoon.
No, of course not.
So, hell, it's one or the other.
What are you thinking?
One or the other, which one are you going to go with? God bless that woman.
Well, Chris and Donnie. It was not Chris and Donnie. Was it Chris and
It was
Donnie?
Chris and Donnie,
Oh, well,
yeah.
They'd never been to Europe before, so what do you want?
They'd never been to Europe. Adam never been to Paris. Romantic city.
Yeah.
It's a place you want to spend with your...
People, before they get married, they have to get these things out of their system. Yeah. Last fling, you know?
Yeah, last fling. Lighting farts at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and videotaping each other. All right, let's talk to Christina. She's in Oregon, and she's 14 years old. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
All right, what's your question?
I don't know when it's right for me to have sex with my boyfriend.
Okay, so you want us to tell you when it's right?
Oh, that'd be kind of helpful.
Okay. First of all, you want to be at least 17. What did you say, Jimmy?
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's first. First and foremost.
Okay.
And that is not just...
She's already smiling.
She's already pissed.
Yeah, right. 17.
And that's actually based on really good scientific data that suggests that the brain development isn't quite ready to handle the intensity of a relationship that includes sexuality. And certainly not at 14. Especially
I still have trouble with it. I still
to now, yeah, you can handle it. Yeah,
yeah. When do you think it's going to happen, Christina? How old do you see yourself being?
About 16.
16, yeah.
All right, well, that's better than 14. How old is your boyfriend?
15.
All right. And I think a key sort of bit of data also for you is that if the boyfriend isn't willing to hang around to wait till it's right for you, it certainly isn't right now with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and most guys, I know in my case this would hold true, unless you're dating like the captain of the football team or something like that. If you told them, listen, I'm not ready until I'm 16, but I'm going to be 16 in a year and a half or so. If you want to hang around till then, we'll do that then. But otherwise, no thanks. I would hang out. I'd invest in that. I'd be on my best behavior for 18 straight months.
And that's Jimmy Kimmel.
And that's me. Yeah, well, believe me, I was looking for something at that age, and the magazines weren't doing it. So, Christina, tell your boyfriend that.
Yet you 16, kept looking.
16 is the number.
In the magazines, yes.
And he needs to hold on. Tell him it's your 16, not his 16.
Okay.
All right? And then don't toss it all away at the prom. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
You were your daughter. My daughter's 11 years old.
That, oh, my God, I know is a dad's anguish.
It's a nightmare.
That's the dad's anguish. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All right. We got a 37-year-old from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill.
Yeah.
You're on Loveline.
Cool. Jimmy, you are the man.
Thank you, Bill.
Adam drools. He wishes he was as good as you.
Well, the man weeps in public, and I don't know if I want to be associated with that. As a matter of fact, this I don't have a show coming up on ABC, Drew. I want to be honest with you.
This has all been a sham?
I can't work with this man anymore.
With Adam?
Yes.
So well, this was your way out.
Oh, my way out.
He's on his first ex-wife, so we'll see.
No, wait, hold on here. Shh, 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 quiet. So this is all a scam to just...
Yes. Because I figure he's not going to watch. He's self-involved.
Oh, of course not.
Right,
of
right.
course not. But you have to find a way to disengage.
It could work for you, too.
Well, this is what I'm thinking here. See, I'm trying to figure... So I could say I'm doing a show with somebody else.
Yeah, you could say I got a big show on... You could even make up the network. He wouldn't realize it. You could say...
Yeah, he's always considered me an albatross.
Yeah, you could say it's on the...
He'll finally have an excuse.
LBC, I'm doing a show with Snoop Dogg, and I can't do it anymore. So, Bill, what's your story?
How dare you! Well, I've been married for 4 years now to my second wife, and I ended up marrying into with a child she had from a previous boyfriend. And she was 11 months, maybe a year old when I got into the relationship.
All right.
I've pretty much been her dad, you know, since then. She's 6 years old now.
All right.
And my wife decided that she felt it was time for her to meet her real dad.
Right.
Well, her real dad is a real butthead. Very, very abusive.
Please, Bill, could we get you to lighten the language?
Yeah.
Thank you.
He was very abusive. He beat my ex.
All right, and so what's the question?
I'm just curious whether or not it would be okay for her to meet him now. Is she too young to even understand the difference between a father and a dad? You know, gaining her respect over the last 5 years has been hard.
Yeah. And you feel threatened, I'm sure, by this.
Extremely.
And you also feel nervous that something bad's going to happen.
Exactly.
He's going to start taking her more often, and you're going to see less of the kid?
Yeah. And oh, my God, it hurts.
Yeah, I bet.
It hurts.
And I bet you also you feel maybe confused as to why your wife would want him to see you. Because you feel like, well, what does this mean? Am I not serving?
And won't even involve me.
Well, one thing I've noticed, Bill. All right, Bill, hold on a second. One thing I have noticed in young women that lose touch with their biological father, even when the guy leaves at one or two, it seems to leave a vacuum behind, where they constantly tend to look for this unavailable sort of fantasy guy that doesn't exist to try to fill that void. And even when they've had a good attachment to a stepfather, there's always some issues left behind. So, to some extent, I'm in favor of her having a relationship with him for who he really is, provided it doesn't become traumatizing. It's not going to be good because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But if it can be controlled in some way so she can come to terms with who he actually is rather than retaining a fantasy about this guy who left, it would be a desirable thing. All right?
And you know what? Unfortunately, Bill really doesn't have a say in this decision.
I know.
And
he needs to convince the wife that he needs to be
involved. If there's one thing you can count on also is that a guy like this is not really going to want to make the effort to be involved in his daughter's life.
Not to the extent that it's going to pull it away from Bill.
Right, exactly. So there you go. We need to take a break. Is that what you're telling me? All right. 1-800-LOVE-191. It is Loveline. Line 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Jimmy Kimmel and for Adam Carolla. Adam just got married. Dr. Drew is here. And Dr. Drew, I saw something today I wanted to ask you about. It's because I noticed you have this pen. You get them for free from pharmaceutical companies,
yes,
right?
Yes.
There's a diet pill called, you know what I'm going to say?
No.
It's called Anorex. A-N-O-R-E.
You sure?
I swear to God, I saw the two-page advertisement today.
Nice.
Now, it was in the Inquirer, but it was a real ad, though.
Well, anorectic just means not eating. Anorexia nervosa is what you're thinking of.
Right, but this is A-N-O-R-E-X. They just cut off the I-A.
Anorex.
And this is the name of their, this is like, they could have called it Bleem, right? And it would be the same thing. What kind of maniacs name their drug Anorex?
I'm just like, a bulimi would be a little better, wouldn't
it? Yeah, bulimi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
That's something else,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, nice. Good time.
Remember AIDS chocolate, the diet chocolate?
That was gone.
Oh, boy. You have to believe, the president of AIDS called the AMA and said, do we have to call it AIDS? Because my chocolate is named that.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's see. What do we have here? Oh, this kid Jason has been on. Oh, I don't like this kid already, I'll tell you.
All right.
This Jason's from Seattle. He's 16 years old. Jason, what's your story?
Hey, man, what's up? First, I want to say, Jimmy, I love Crank Anchors.
I like him better now.
Drew, you're a genius, man. I respect your opinions, and I listen every night, man.
All right, Jason, thanks.
All right.
My question is that there's this girl that we had this dance at our school on Friday, and there's this girl that went there, and she's a senior, and I danced with her a little bit, and kind of, I've been talking to her for a few weeks, and I kind of want to hook up with her, but I've been talking to her more and more, and she kind of, like, has problems. Like, she says she takes antidepressants, and she missed some school last year because she was in, like, a hospital.
Perfect.
And I know, like, from listening that it'd be unhealthy to have a relationship with her, but I kind of care about her and stuff.
But wait a minute. You can't say that.
You don't rule out
every girl that takes antidepressants.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Just because she's had depression doesn't mean...
At least she's taking them.
Yeah, okay. And
that's
the
right.
Second part of it, the reason why I can't just, like, decide not to go with her or to go with her is because there's this other girl that's a freshman, and, like, she's kind of snobby, but she's also pretty nice, and she kind of wants to get with me. So I'm kind of stuck between both of them.
She's snobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had this problem a lot, too, when I was in high school.
Too many girls?
Girl?
Yeah.
The snobby one is nice.
Yeah.
And really, I boiled down to this. Which one was better looking? is the way I'd weigh these options. And, and that's the one I'd choose to stalk.
Jimmy was very deep in his choices. Yeah.
Well, do you have to only go out with... I mean, isn't it okay to date more than one girl when you're 16 years old? Or do you have to... Is it time to settle down?
Yeah, my mom said, too. She said I need to do that.
your mom. That's nice. I wish I was a fly on the wall during that conversation. Well, how did that go down exactly?
What? How she came about it? I was, coming back from the dance, she was like, she picked me up and she's like, so did you dance with girls and stuff? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and I just asked
What's her name? What's the girl's name?
Which one?
Gold, did you say?
Wait, which one?
No, you're dancing with, you said I'm dancing with girls and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Girls, I got you.
Girls, and then, I'm like, and then I'm like, yeah, there's like two that I kind of want to hook up with. And she's like, oh, you can go on, and I'm like, just go on a date with one of them, like once for each one, and then find out which one you like better and go from there. I'm like.
This is, by the way, a thing that young people are starting to realize and are starting to do, but have not paid enough attention to it for many, many years, which is that before you hook up with somebody, before you like have sex with them, before you decide you're going to get joined at the hip with them, you need to kind of have a few dates and get to know them. That whole part has been like taken out of the courtship.
I guess so.
It's not okay to like date for a while. Guys are afraid they're going to give girls the wrong impression, or if they don't strike what they have in his heart, they're not going to get laid. And girls just are clueless about what, you know, what the guys are thinking. So just go date for a while.
Here's what I would
kind of
do.
Person you want to
and I think
with.
This is what Jack Tripper would have done in Three's Company. Invite them both out to a movie and then keep running back and forth in the theater and keep making excuses.
I think one is at a restaurant and the other, he has to go bowling.
Yeah,
one at a restaurant and one at a movie theater.
I see. And you got to keep changing his shoes every single time. Like, why are you wearing those shoes? I was wearing them when I came in. Yeah. So go invite one bowling and one out to dinner. There's a solution to your problem.
But that costs money, man. I'm trying to go for the cheap date.
All right. We're joking. You're retarded.
And I talked to your business manager last night. Who's Adam's business manager. Whose grandfather. You know what I'm going to say?
No.
You know who his grandfather was?
No.
Fred Flintstone.
Come on.
The guy that did Fred Flintstone.
His grandfather was a cartoon? Wait a minute. Tony, my business manager.
Grandfather.
His grandfather was Fred Flintstone?
Yes.
Oh, he was drunk and goofing on you.
He had told me that years ago when I met him, and I had another long conversation with him about how he'd been an actor and was in, like, From Here to Eternity.
Wow.
And all those other things before Fred Flintstone. And he used to come to his grammar school and do Fred Flintstone.
My daughter's friend, her grandfather, was Captain Hook. It's true. He was the voice of Captain Hook and Peter Pan.
I can't remember that cartoon. I remember.
Yeah. It's not as good as Fred Flintstone.
No,
I'm sorry to even. Why would I even try to compete?
I know why.
With that?
Jimmy,
I don't know.
I'm a little embarrassed.
That's pretty good. I like that. Fred Flintstone is handling my money. Fred Flintstone III has got my finances in order. Jay is calling from Ohio. He's 22 years old. Jay.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you? What's your problem?
Hey, Jimmy, I love the man show.
Besides that, thanks.
Well, my problem is whenever I drink, the next day I don't remember. You know, I remember some parts, but, for instance, last week I went out and I had, few shots of vodka. And it's not like I get horribly drunk or anything like that. I remember some parts, but I don't remember, other, parts.
So you lose memory after you get drunk.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying is even after relatively low exposures to alcohol, you're getting blacking out.
Yeah, memory, right.
That tends to be a sign of alcoholism. It doesn't happen to non-alcoholics, strangely enough. And I'm not really clear what that mechanism is. I don't think anyone knows for sure. But I hear this all the time. People that have family history of alcoholism, they're getting some momentum going with alcohol. Even after like a few couple of beers, we'll suddenly start having this.
Do you have a family history of alcoholism?
No, not at all.
Last night, my assistant, Carrie, was at Adam's wedding, and she got very, very drunk.
She was drunk.
And we decided that she shouldn't drive home, so my parents and I, we took her over to my house. And the whole trip over, well, first of all, she was telling me that I'm always complaining when she was comfortable.
Did she think you were talking to Adam?
No, she was talking to me.
But I mean, you're always
complaining. Oh, I'm much worse than Adam.
What?
Believe me. You don't know. You just see the good Jimmy. Okay. You don't see Jimmy at work.
Oh, I see.
The one that makes Adam want to kill himself. And then also the other thing was she was demanding I return her Pyrex cookware that she brought to my house when she made something and came over. So apparently I have these Pyrex bowls. And she sent me an email. Hey, I forgot my jacket. Will you bring it into work tomorrow? And I said, yeah. And what about this Pyrex? What does it look like? She's like,
what?
Yeah. I don't remember that at all. But she demanded it like 30 times. So she's got a problem, too, along with
Jay. Your parents must have been impressed.
Yeah, they were. They were definitely impressed. My mother said, she kept me up till 2 in the morning talking about things. Yeah.
She was very, you call loquacious.
That's right. Jay, what nationality are you?
I'm from Asia.
Information.
Asian.
Oh, the land of Asia. It's a mysterious land.
Did you have the flush or nausea or anything with alcohol before you got into drinking a little more?
No.
Because Asians tend to have a sort of protectant against alcoholism. They get the flush and nausea. While if many Asians now will learn to drink past that. And then they move on to
the karaoke stage.
And then you see the gene of alcoholism manifesting, and thus the popularity of karaoke.
Asians really, they have problems with milk, too, right? They can't drink milk?
They're lactose intolerant. Americans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm always getting them confused. Which ones are the black ones? Jay, so what should Jay do? Just stop drinking so much, right?
That's right.
Or have your friends follow you around with a video camera. You'll remember everything.
Yeah, if you can't, stop.
That's what I'm going to do next time.
If you can't stop, then that's time to get treatment.
Yeah. I never forget anything.
Here's the deal.
Here's
the 12-step treatment. Here's the deal about stopping using a substance. If you can stop and things, you know, you're developing consequences and you can't stop, go ahead and stop.
Right.
Okay? And if you can't stop, that's addiction.
So try to stop and see what happens.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Good time.
Very good, Jay. All right. Let's talk to Kyle. Kyle's 15 years old and wants to know how he can tell his girlfriend that he's bisexual.
Remember, don't read these.
I know, but this one I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Is that the case, Kyle?
Yeah.
So you're bisexual. How long have you known you're bisexual?
Well, it kind of started out in like the beginning of freshman year.
Yeah. How long have you been going? You actually have you had sex with a man?
Yeah.
And you've had sex with a woman?
No.
No.
Okay, you're not bisexual.
Well, I mean, I still like girls and all, and I have a girlfriend at Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what Adam calls bisexual.
Yeah, it was easy. Yeah, it's
bye.
Bye. Yeah, you're probably not, you realize you're probably not bisexual.
You're probably gay.
You're probably just, you maybe identify better with women because of your mutual love for penis.
What tends to happen more likely is that he doesn't want to be gay. Most 15-year-olds don't want that. They want to try to be a different way and may still have some feelings for women, but really the drive is a homosexual.
Well, let me just say that there are some drawbacks to being gay. You know, and definitely are some drawbacks, especially when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
But there's no question. You know, they say blondes have more fun.
Yeah.
Gays have a lot more fun than everyone else.
You and Adam. Adam needs to have his marriage annulled, and you guys really need to get together.
Every night he talks about it all the time. I pray to God that he'll make me a homosexual every night.
He does at Jimmy.
I know, but it doesn't work.
This is poignant. It doesn't work because I see his
ass, and it's flat out mangy. I don't even know how a penis would penetrate that mane of protection.
As he said,
that
it's just,
webbing.
It's just like finding Santa Claus's mouth.
Yeah. you got a little ooh. You're definitely not bisexual if you're oohing about Adam's ass, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Kyle, gays have a lot of fun. They have parades. They decorate things. They garden. They do a lot of fun things.
They save money.
Yeah, they save money. They work out. They wear tank tops. They shave themselves. And you're gonna grow into this whole gay thing. You're really going to like it. The question is, how does he tell his girlfriend? What kind of a girl goes out with a gay guy in the first place, Drew?
Well, she doesn't really know about me, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, I can tell by your voice. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, definitely. I just think you need to be clear with her that you have some question about your sexual orientation. That's all.
Okay. And second of all, what about my parents? Because they don't know either.
Don't tell your father.
I don't think you really owe anybody anything until you've established a network of peers and a supportive group of friends around you who can protect
you. All my friends know about me.
That you're gay. I really recommend people when they're out of the house start to deliver the messages, not when you're living on the roof of people that can freak out. I mean, if your parents are completely open-minded and loving, caring people, accept you on any terms, fine, go ahead and tell them. But then, interestingly, people aren't so interested in telling their parents in that situation.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's always a little, as much fun. It's a little payback. That's more interesting.
That's another thing about mothers. If they are a little bit, they're a little bit troubled by it at the beginning, they go crazy with the gay stuff at the end. I was at this gay parade. And there are a lot of mothers there at the gay parade, and they get really excited about
it. What's the name of the organization? Flat?
I don't know.
Yeah, they have an organization.
Homo Moms.
Yeah,
Homo Moms.
That's it.
Yes. And, so what do you think your parents are going to say?
My parents, I don't really know, though. I mean, my stepdad's kind of a prick and all, but.
How about your biological dad?
Well, he's dead. He died when I was one.
What did he die of?
He had
lung cancer, and he had tongue cancer, then it spread out through his whole body.
Tongue cancer?
Yeah, yeah. Some weird thing.
That's smoking and drinking tongue cancer.
Well, he didn't smoke or drink. That's the odd thing, though.
Whatever you do, that never happened. Whatever you do, you must videotape it when you tell them. I mean, at the very least, you have something to treasure. And your girlfriend, she's going to find out eventually when you haven't kissed her after 8 months. So I don't think there's any rush, really, to tell her. Right, Drew? He can just keep this in?
I think you owe her just a little explanation. Just a little hint.
Maybe one night she comes home wearing her outfit.
That's a different thing. Interestingly,
it's all the same to me. All right. Very good, Kyle.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Keep gaying it up. We'll see.
I was reading some literature about transsexuals the other day, and they apparently a significant percentage, like 80 or 90%, got some sort of intense message from one or both parents about a wish that they had been the other sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's sort of been documented.
Really?
Brazilian psychiatrist documented that.
Brazilians?
And I was talking to a woman.
They have psychiatrists over there?
I was talking to a woman at a college I was speaking at, and she said, you know, I always attract gay guys, and I thought, wondering what that is. And I just picked up this thing from her that she had this sort of wasn't comfortable with her own feminine self. I said, did your parents ever give you messages? My dad always wished I were a son. Always told me.
Really?
At that point, I wonder if there's some common pain about, having questions about your sexual identity.
That's weird because I always wished that my kids were Mexican and I caught them wearing sombreros last night.
Well, that and Asian kids hanging out with them, right?
Yes, that's right.
Because their parents were wishing.
I was looking out in my backyard today, and there were like 30 kids at my house, and all colors of the rainbow.
Yeah.
And it looked like one of those commercials. Yeah, it really did. It was something else. I put a stop to it, though. No. All right. Should we take a break?
No. Five more minutes.
Oh, we got a lot of time, yeah. I tell you. We don't have this kind of time. Let's talk to Jimmy.
This is radio, not television.
This is not me, though. We're not talking to me. We're talking to another guy named Jimmy who lives here in L.A. He's 22 years old. Hi, Jimmy.
Oh, what's up?
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm doing, I'm thinking about participating in this MENT study at UCLA.
What's UCLA?
UCLA.
UCLA.
You call it UCLA?
UCLA.
Oh, UCLA.
Come on. Anyways.
No, you come on. Okay.
So, yeah, Drew, should I do it or should I not do it?
What study is that?
The MENT with the implant with the MENT and the levonorgestrel.
Taking levonorgestrel for men?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in one of those student experiments?
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
Like, they're going to put, like, an implant in my arm.
Yeah, I say, let's do whatever you want to this guy.
Well, you want to stop producing sperm, right? That's the idea here?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Why would you want to do that?
Because all my friends have babies, dude, and, like, I'm just tired of it.
Hey, don't tell them the sheets. Do not discourage these guys. Our callers are all about...
Oh, I see. This is a birth control thing.
If you can't rely on your female peers to protect and you don't wear a condom all the time, by all means.
No, I'm good to go. I'm doing this just for, like, society, man.
You said it's because all your friends have kids.
Yeah, and it's just in general, there's too many kids around.
All right, and so you don't want to have kids, and you want to be sure not to, and this is...
That's perfect because...
Well, right now I want kids, yeah, but, like, what I'm really concerned about is, like, I don't want to go, like, permanently sterile.
That will not happen.
I want to have kids, you know.
That will not happen. That's fine.
It will if I'm in charge.
So what are the pros and cons?
The pros are...
The cons?
There are no cons.
It can affect your mood, and you may not feel normal on it. That's about it, really.
You may see dude a lot.
There are no sort of medical consequences from that we're aware of, anyway.
All right.
Because the guy
that screened me.
Yeah, good luck to you. Okay. Next caller! All right. Teresa from Arizona. She's 23 years old. Teresa?
Hi, how are y'all?
Hi, dude. How are you?
I'm good.
All right.
Well, the reason I'm calling today is just because I have a question about sexual abuse.
Yes, I will handle this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I bet you will. Now, my father, he spent a few years in prison, about 5 years for sexual abuse. My two sisters, my cousin. But me, I don't remember anything in my childhood. And I only stayed with him until I was about five, but I don't remember.
And you're insulted. You're insulted because your father found your siblings and cousins.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm left out. I'm just wondering if there's a way that I can tell. Because I'm having a lot of anger right now.
Yeah, well, you had a screw up family system, so there's going to be some stuff left over from that. But one of the ways is if you have a lot of issues about your sexuality, if you have a lot of chaos and intensity in your relationships.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, definitely. I mean, I've had many sexual partners, and I mean, it's just crazy. I couldn't, but I had sex when I was like 14, and I look at 14-year-olds now, and I'm like, oh my God. And it's just,
what are you going to do?
How many partners are we talking about? By the way, Adam decided he could do the whole show with just five drops.
Like 100.
Yeah. 100, you've been with 100 guys.
Yep.
Wow. 100 guys.
So that does in 9 years.
That does suggest.
Yeah. Damn, yeah. Bitch.
Is that bad?
That's the ghost of Adam.
The realm of sexual compulsivity, yeah. That would be.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically basic, and I've been raped a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure. We all have, though.
No, but listen, it's people that have been victimized. As they hit adolescence, get victimized again. Victimizers just know they're good victims, and they seek them out and take
and
advantage
of
it.
It's weird, though. It's because I'm still going through it. I'm married right now. And like, people of authority are hitting on me, and I guess they can just see it.
Yes,
it,
they
know,
see that, yes.
How long have you been married?
3 years.
And have you been faithful to your husband?
Yes, definitely.
So you had 100 partners in a six-year span.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to
maybe
look into
less
this.
Because there was an engagement period too,
Teresa,
right?
You need to look into this, and the fact that you put something out that leads people to believe that you're looking for exploitation, that exploiters are used to sort of engaging with this sort of victim quality in you, this is going to be something you're going to have to deal with for a long time. This is what's screwed up in our society. One of the fundamental issues right now is that people don't realize that when someone is sort of coming on to an authority figure or makes them feel like they're open to some sort of exploitive interaction, a la Clinton and Monica mm-hmm. Lewinsky, the person authority's role is to put a boundary on that immediately. That's what the person needs, that the person like Teresa.
So if she can't work this out, though,
yes,
she should become a hooker, right?
Or she, that's the other way.
Why not? It's legal in
direction.
It's legal in Nevada. Pack it up and make the move.
Get some treatment for this. Yes. This trauma survivorship.
But is there any way that,
I think you can, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what actually happened. What matters is how you're managing the implicit,
vagina.
No, the memories left behind, the sort of implicit quality in how your brain functions is something that needs to be worked on with a therapist.
Yes, you need a brain redo.
That's right.
Have your brain made over.
That's right.
Oprah talks about it all the time.
There is a new TV
show.
There
you go.
There you go.
We're going to take a break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Call. It's Jimmy Kimmel and Dr. Drew. This is Loveline. Line 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam Carolla. Adam got married on Saturday night. Congratulations to him and his unfortunate bride, Lynette.
Yeah, I was thinking, what would I say if I was asked to give a toast? It would basically sum up would be, Lynette, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
The truth is, they're very compatible, and I think that they're going to do very well. Because I said last night, I said neither one of them ever wants to do anything. And you know, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to watch TV, that's Adam's your guy. And he cried. He cried. And I'd like the listeners tomorrow night when Adam shows up to remind him of that fact in each and every call.
Yes, that will be good. Every call.
Drew, Dr. Phil, evil or not evil?
Evil.
I believe he's evil as well. Yes, let's go to the phone calls. Let's start with... look at all these calls.
Six.
Let's get some funny. Let's get some people having sex with their animals and stuff like that. Annie from San Francisco, 18 years old.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Yep, go right ahead.
Go ahead, Annie.
Okay, first of all, I think it's sweet that Adam credited his wedding.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure the female listeners and viewers will all think, oh, it's so great, Adam. I, however, will ride him like a mule until the day he dies.
And none of us really know what he was crying about yet.
No, yeah, it really could have just been over finances.
That or...
Yeah, I mean, where he's lost his alone time now.
Did you see that ring he's got?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's wearing a ring.
Oh, yes, very fancy, in fact.
Yeah, that's not gonna...
And he and I had a long conversation about how simple, you know...
Yeah.
Very
fancy. Well, I'm sure he had nothing to do with picking it out.
Yeah, but he's wearing it.
All right, Annie. Go ahead.
Okay. At the beginning of last month, I had a blighted ovum after being pregnant for 2 months.
Yeah.
And since then, I've had my period twice. And now it's really irregular, and it's lasting about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And it goes from, like, heavy to light.
Are you on any birth control or anything?
No.
Okay.
Did
you have a DNC afterwards?
No.
You just... miscarried, that was it.
Yes. I went to the hospital, that's how I know.
Have you seen a doctor since all that went down?
No.
time to go back. It could be some what I call retained product, something left behind. Could be you're having trouble getting your cycling going again. You're having anovulatory cycles. Could be infection even left behind.
Could be that she's drinking too much water. Isn't it? Wouldn't you recommend that she stop drinking water in this case?
I'm trying to figure out how that works, but no, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. But it is time to get back into a gynecologist to see what's going on here, okay? Because sometimes they do have to do a D&C and things like that afterwards.
Do you think that birth control would regulate it more?
Sometimes, if you're just having problems getting the ovulatory cycles going again, yes, that works very nicely.
Okay.
All right. Very good, Annie. Good luck with that. Let's talk to James.
Yeah, before you start, James, I had an interesting moment with Jimmy where, you see, normally Adam and I go pee together.
Right, you know? And you say weird things about that. And that's not strange, right?
No, I have to say that I get, you know, what you normally get is a lot of him complaining.
But when you pee together, you pee together, right?
There's a latrine and a toilet.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I take
so you're in the same room with your pee, even though there are two bathrooms.
Now, mind you, Adam does not stop talking from the moment the mics go cold until we're done.
Oh, I know.
The whole time,
it's
the garbage man.
Talks in his sleep. Yeah.
Okay, good. And so I asked Jimmy, "Why? What's the matter? Why not?
Why aren't I peeing?
Yeah.
Yes, it was because of that thing you did to me that one time. Drew once had his finger up my ass.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was not in a medical situation.
No.
It was at a party, which seemed inappropriate at the time. But I understand it now. I do. James, what is
Before James talks, also, I want you to enjoy another aspect of being on Loveline, which is the fact that our callers live in homes these days. There, it seems to be a sort of an epidemic of this, where they have not changed the batteries on their smoke alarms. And I just heard, I'm in the background there at James's house. Yes, that's how tuned in we are.
Is that what's going on, James?
Well, actually, no. My phone is beeping because I bought, I'm from the poorer part of town, so I bought the cheap cell phone instead of the expensive one.
So it makes the beep like a smoke alarm that's battery is dead?
Well, and I can still check my 20-cent stocks that are going into escrow, too, so that's pretty good.
All right. Escrow. What's your problem besides financial and cell phone related, James?
Well, my problem is that I think there's a lot of forms of abuse that are addressed, and I'm not just calling for me, but I'm calling for a lot of people that I know.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. And one of the forms is, one of my friends mentioned one time that she thought that negligence was the worst form of abuse that you could give a child.
Well, not negligence, but neglect.
Neglect, yes.
And
my question is, long story short, my mother's father left her when she was little. She married my father. They got divorced. She married another man. I went to live with her when I was very young, probably 5 years old. And she would tell me, I wish you would call him daddy. And she would tell, and she would always pay so much attention to him, like she was striving for something.
So you lived with your original father for the first 5 years.
Well, I lived with my mother and my father until I was 4, and then they got divorced, and she got remarried right after that to this other man that treated her very like a princess.
Right.
And now it turns out that she neglected her kids for so long and put so much energy into this man, but it turns out that she's divorcing him now, and she found another man because she really wasn't in love with him, but she's still...
Let's let him keep talking for a little while.
Okay.
And maybe his cell phone will start ringing, and then he'll realize that we're not talking to him anymore, okay? Let's go back to him and see if he's still talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My question is, what are the effects of negligence at a young age?
Negative. They're negative, right?
Well, not negative. James, you seem to be a little confused about what has gone on with your life. Neglect, true neglect, is like what happens to Romanian orphans. And what happens in the absence of regular, attuned human interaction is your brain literally doesn't develop. And you lose the capacity to develop a sense of self, an ability to regulate your emotions, and ability to empathize with others. So these are the kids that become very, very violent.
You get good at video games.
You'll admit that. Love that stuff. And you can be very violent and act out and all kinds of things. But James's thing here is just a mom who was empty.
Right.
And James, or you just hung up on him?
Yeah, I don't. I'm bored to death. And there's a guy who likes a taste of blood on hold. A girl who likes a taste of blood.
All right.
But just, it's a generic call. Do you want generic calls?
But
listen, here's the deal. If you have kids, don't neglect them. Well, it can't be good, right?
James has got a lot of stuff, having dealt with a mom who is empty.
Yeah.
Has a personality disorder. And that is something that he needs to be treated for.
Right. And yet, it's not really our problem, is it? I mean, the listeners want to.
None of these things are really our problem.
We can't suffer along with James.
They're not actually our problem.
It was starting to become my problem. Let's talk to Dee. She's in Oregon. She likes the taste of blood. Dee?
Yeah.
You like the taste of blood?
Yeah, raw meat, too.
I like raw meat, too, and I also like the taste of blood.
During sex?
No. I don't eat. I rarely eat during sex. No. I do. If I'll have like a bloody lip or whatever, I do enjoy the taste of my own blood.
I like the taste of other people's blood too.
Okay, well that's a little bit more troubling, but I also like raw meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go.
How old are you, D?
42.
Wow, you sound younger than that. Why do you think you like the taste of blood?
I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe it has something to do with me being molested as a child, and now I'm the aggressor. If somebody's aggressive towards me, I totally, like, freak out, but I have to be the aggressor, and it's like a follow-the-leader kind of thing, you know?
This is the victim becomes the victimizer.
Right. So have you bitten somebody unexpectedly and drawn blood from them?
Almost. Yeah.
What did they do?
I realized that it was hurting too much, and then I realized how hard I was actually biting.
So you've never really tasted, then, blood from another person?
Oh, yeah, I have.
How'd you get it out of them?
Well, I know some people that are intravenous users.
Yeah?
And when they're done, I ask them if I can lick the blood.
Well, sure. Well, that's very, 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 very common. Very
high
common.
Yourself?
Am I high?
That's
no.
The greatest way to get disease, I can imagine, other than actually injecting yourself with their blood.
Well, I make sure that they're not HIV positive.
Right, she takes precautions, Drew.
How do you know that an IV drug user does not have hepatitis C? Or
you can see it
HIV?
In their eyes.
How do you know that?
Well, I asked them.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Diabetics
never lie, so of course. Why? Of course.
Now.
Well, I wouldn't ask somebody that I would think would be at high risk.
Right, so you're chugging blood, your friend's blood.
D, let's be clear. Yeah. Uh-huh. IV drug users are high risk, period, end of story.
Yes.
And we have a saying on our drug unit is that if our addict patients are moving their lips, they're lying. So you can't really rely on anything when someone is in their disease.
So okay. She should stop drinking intravenous
blood? At least leave it to, like, talk show hosts and things like that.
You know, V8 is a nice alternative to blood,
I found. It doesn't have that blood taste.
No, Clamato. Yeah.
Clamato? Really? What about Clamato,
beef
D?
Beef motto. She likes the
blood. It doesn't have the same texture.
D, this would be a much funnier call if you now went, ew. So
yeah,
let's try that again. What about Clamato, D?
Ew.
Good.
Not blood.
Even
you
better.
See how that works? Right. Blood's better than Clamato.
D is flat out nuts. I'm glad she's far away in Oregon, but the villagers should probably drive a stake through her heart. Do we have to take a break? Is
no,
that what you're saying?
Fine.
All right. All right, let's talk to Chantel. Chantel is 34 years old. Hello, Chantel.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing what's good.
Up? Good.
Good. I called because I will listen to you guys all the time, and I pseudo-respect some of the stuff that you say, so I'm having a little bit of an issue, and I wanted to discuss it with you.
Okay. I don't know. Is that an insult to someone?
Yes. Yeah. Is this important?
Yeah, I mean, like, I oftentimes hear why, you know, Adam's not there tonight, but,
yeah.
I mean, I hear you guys talk about, sometimes I feel like you, the, not Dr. Phil, not that bad, but, like, mm-hmm. There's sometimes just some very specific non-advice given.
Right.
Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah.
But anyway, I
this
do,
is...
I listen, and I...
Right.
I, like, I don't know what. Anyway, I'm having a little bit of an issue. I am adopted, and I've found my biological mother.
Where'd
and,
you find her?
Pardon me?
Where'd you find her?
She is living in Temecula Valley.
Nice.
And she is... she doesn't know that I have found her. It has been, like I said, a long time. I'm 34, so I have never really sought her out until I started having some health issues.
Mm-hmm. What are your health issues?
I have lupus, and one of my doctors recommended there's a possibility in the future that I may require a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
So the best kidney transplant comes from a biological sibling, of which I have none unless I find my biological parent.
All right, there you go.
Well, so you need them for farming purposes.
Yes.
Well, you know, I feel very strongly about that. I'd like to live, but there is this element that I don't want anybody intruding on my life, and I don't know. She obviously doesn't want me intruding on hers, or she might have tried to find me in these last 34 years.
No, parents that give child up for adoption typically do not go seek them out.
Right, and she hasn't. And now I feel like, okay, if I'm going to pop in out of the blue, I am doing very well health-wise at the moment, but I was very, very, I was in a bad, bad place about a year and a half ago, and the doctors were saying, you know, you really need to find this lady and see if you have somebody out there.
Yeah.
But But there is this return thing. I don't really want her finding me.
All right, we got it. Okay, all right, Chantel. Listen, here's what you have to do. You got to find her. You have to find out if you have any brothers or sisters. Don't tell them about your condition. What you have to do is have a really special moment with them, maybe over a dinner or maybe you're roasting marshmallows, where you say, I just want you to know, we may not have ever met before, but I feel such a bond with you, and I would do anything for you, anything you ever needed. And then leave their lives, and then, you know, cut them off. And then if you need them,
4 years
later, you call back, you say, remember I said I would do anything for you? And you won't even have to say that, because they will remember that. And they'll remember that moment, and then you can, you know, pull whatever part you want out of them.
Yeah, there is some, I don't understand quite what the source of your resistance is, but you need to overcome it. Because if your life really depends on getting a good, well-matched kidney, you got to go for that.
Yeah, you got to do a little salesmanship.
And if you want to keep them out of your life, that's fine. I have kind of more of a sense from you that you're afraid that they're not going to want you in their life. Or you're going to be rejected in some way.
Maybe so, that there is that element.
Yeah, I can.
Also, I feel like I'm betraying even my mother's, my adopted,
sure.
I have great parents.
Sure.
And I feel like, while my mother has passed, I feel like I'm...
Oh, she would understand.
Look, she would go with you to get this woman,
yes,
if she knew it was important to your survival.
Yes.
Of course.
But the
number
one thing that you have to do is stop drinking other people's blood.
Caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
I
lost her when she started insulting you. I have a very practical method here. I just hang up on them. We move on.
In what world do you call somebody up for advice and start out with, I kind of think you suck. Why?
Believe it happens more than you would imagine. It really does. It does to me anyway. I get that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Should we go to the break?
Yes,
is it time? Let's go to the break.
Now come with me, Peter.
Yes, I will. I'm going to help you all hold things. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Love Line. Not that we're going to get many more calls than we already have on hold, but the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Jimmy Kimmel in for Adam, who's on his one-night honeymoon.
Is that really what this is? Should we even call it that?
I think
he probably took her
to
his house. I'm not sure they actually went anywhere.
And maybe give him a blowjob.
Oh, my God.
come on, honey. I'm tired. It's a long night.
Oh, my God.
Let's get this started on the right foot. All right. Let's talk to Jane. Jane is in Kansas, and Jane's 19 years old. Hi, Jane.
Hi. My problem is that I can only reach orgasm through masturbation, not with my boyfriend. He doesn't even turn me on anymore.
Well, because you're not really in love with him anymore, right?
Well, I don't know. I really like to be with him. He's a great person.
You know what, though? It's amazing thing, though. Particularly women, their bodies are very tuned into how they're feeling. Their sexual response is very tied into their... At least the quality of the relationship. And if the relationship is not going so well, or you're not so into the person anymore, magically, your vagina will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got something to do with, like, I resent him because I brought chlamydia into the relationship, and I didn't know
Hold on now. Wait, you're slipping on.
I was sick, and I couldn't have sex with him, and I was like, you probably already have it. It was hell to get him treated. Like, he didn't want to go to the clinic.
What, chlamydia, you said?
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
And,
she said she brought chlamydia into the relationship.
Yeah, and so...
Wait a minute, like, chlamydia, this is the disease, not
your friend. Not some girlfriend.
Not your black friend?
No, I was sick.
All right.
But he always wanted to have sex, and it would hurt, and I didn't want it, and he always wanted sex, and it's up a few times I would give in and have sex with him when I really didn't want to and didn't think it was safe. And ever since, I haven't wanted to have sex with him at all, period.
You know, I've heard of this a number of times from women who, when sex has become painful, they become sort of aversive to it, and they get very resentful of the guy for putting them in that position. See, men can't appreciate that because they just have drive. They could be on fire, and they would want to have sex.
Yeah.
So the idea that it hurts you, and you know what it is, like, doesn't compute for them. And then
I want to get it started again.
I understand. The women have a very aversive response to that. And that's,
So what should she do, Drew? What are you doing this?
Well, two things I would do. Make sure that you're both adequately treated. Get reassured. See a doctor. Make sure that everything is the way it should be. Get a specific recommendation for how long to abstain from sex, if at all. And then secondly, really evaluate whether this guy is the one you want to be with any further, because I suspect there's less feeling here than you really think.
Yeah, it's kind of tapioca, but I mean, I really like.
Are you talking about his? What are you talking about?
You have tapioca coming out?
Semen? It's tapioca, or you have tapioca dish?
No, I think she was using a colorful adjective.
You what?
I'm not passionately in love with him. It's like tapioca, you know? It's not the one thing. It's fun for now.
Right. All right. She's saying it's bland.
Yeah, but I think your vagina's telling you something that you ought to listen. I do. I think it may be time
to wrap. Your vagina's screaming at you.
Wrap this one up. Your body is telling you something. Listen to it, okay?
You got it?
Sometimes I wonder, should I even be with him because he was...
No, James,
all right, let us decide for you. Jamie, my opinion.
No.
You shouldn't be with him. You're not into this anymore.
Yeah, don't do him any favors. He doesn't need this. You're 19 years old. It only gets worse. this is happening now. Forget about it in 10 years. Jeremy, you're 19 years old, and what's your problem?
Yeah, my girlfriend has gone down on me a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But every time she goes down on me, she, like, walks up for the first time. 3 times after that, she's thrown up, and she said this to me.
David Unger.
No, you know that sloshing that...
That was you.
That was me. I made that in Tampa, Florida in 1991, that sound effect. That's me, yep. Dumping water into a bucket to make it sound more disgusting.
And you brought it over to Kara?
And Adam loved it so much that he took it. And I'm glad to hear it. I tell you, it makes me happy.
But we've added David Alan Greer to that.
Yes, it's the mega mix.
Yes, it's the vomit mega.
It's very nice. So your girlfriend's thrown up 3 times. Is she swallowing?
Well, she gets to the point where, like, the first time she swallowed, the other 3 times... She's tried to, but she's, like, the reverse action of throwing up has prevented her to.
How do you define throwing up? I mean, you know, some people...
Losing lunch and dinner.
I mean, real, genuine vomiting, not just kind of, like,
her gastric
gagging.
Contents are spilled upon your abdominal.
Vomiting, you see what she's eaten in the last 2
That's right.
Really?
Good times. Good times.
Mm-hmm. This happened to me, a clown did this to me once when I was a kid.
Vomited on you after
blowjob?
Yes,
and I haven't been able to go to the circus since then. And the nose, I remember the nose kept squeaking as he did it. Well,
Jeremy, let's be fair. If you were doing something like this, wouldn't you vomit each time? I would.
Yeah, well, definitely, but we're men, and that's
you know what I mean?
Let me just say.
I can't fault a woman for
that.
That
your 3 times of this happening, where she vomited, exceeds the amount of times that this happened to me in my entire life, this whole swallowing thing.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So count yourself lucky. You're beating me 3-0.
That's right. Hey, wait. And before I want to share this with you. Before Adam left, he contemplated having just a cyber Adam left behind. Before you were able to fill in, he was going to do the entire show with just 5
a series
drops
of audio
drop-ins.
Drop
yeah. And here they are. Here's the first one.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, so what are you going to do?
What's the next one?
This is what he says to most callers. Hey, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? He's a big boy.
Yeah, so he's a big boy. You can handle that.
That's why I make the big bucks.
How about there's another one on that
That's
one.
Why you make the
That's
big bucks.
That's why you make
right?
the big bucks, okay? And finally?
Good times.
That's it.
All you need is a thank you and mahalo, and you got the whole deal covered.
That's Adam Carolla.
And let me just tell Jeremy something real quick. Jeremy, God bless this woman. After the first time she vomited, she tried again, and then she tried a 3rd time and vomited again. You don't see that. You should marry this girl.
And once again, it speaks volumes about the drive that men have to relieve themselves.
Yes.
Is that he doesn't care that she barfs all over his abdomen.
Right.
Just as long as he's... right? She could be emitting fire from her mouth. It's crazy.
All right, so it burns a little, but scar tissue will develop and it'll be fine.
Oh, my God. Think about that.
We don't
talk enough about that with men, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's just insane.
Yeah. Well,
oh my God.
We enjoy ejaculating.
Hey, wait,
we really
I
do.
I just want to enjoy with you some of the stuff that has gone on. It's been like 8 months since you've been here, right? Or 6 months?
Last something time. Like that, yeah.
Did you hear the Holocaust call we did?
Adam recounted it to me where the girl you did the reenactment
yes,
of the,
yes.
Yeah okay. That's something else. Yeah, we had a great call on Crank Anchors to wanting a sexy Hitler outfit costume, and the woman was very, very helpful and this and that, and at the end Heil Hitler, and she says Heil Hitler.
Oh, my God.
Sign the release.
Oh, my God.
No compunction whatsoever. Oh. Let's talk to Jason because Jason thinks he's gay. Jason, you're 19 years old. Are you gay?
Nope.
But why are you obsessed with thinking you're gay?
Well, it's not that exactly. When I was little, it was about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd obsess about it and couldn't stop thinking about it to the point where it made me sick.
About religion or about being gay?
About religion when I was little.
Right. And now what is it?
Well, that went away for years, and
right.
Now it came back when I was 18, and now it's about being gay. You know, I really don't want to be it.
Obsessive thoughts. So intrusive, troubling thoughts.
Obsessive compulsive. I've been diagnosed.
All right, so you have OCD.
Yeah, I went to a doctor through my insurance.
All right, are you on medication for it?
Yes.
Is it helping?
I guess so, but, you know, sometimes I still have those thoughts, you know?
What are the things you do besides the thoughts? Any ritualistic behaviors or anything of that?
Well, yeah, I check my dash in my car over and over again.
Your dash?
Yeah, like in the glove compartment.
You have to. You have to.
What do you think's in the glove compartment?
Nothing. You know, it's just I got to make sure everything's still there.
What do you think is missing?
Nothing.
Okay.
Or like when I sit and I watch TV, I have to move everything around me to be perfectly straight before I can be calm enough to watch TV.
And what is it afford not to?
And what is it you are afraid might happen if you don't?
I'm not afraid anything will happen. See, that's the weird part, you know. I don't have all the characteristics of obsessive compulsiveness.
It's just business that has to be taken care of before you can move on.
I can be comfortable.
Most
before.
People have a sense that something's going to happen to them if they don't do these rituals. Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of this. I think
everyone has a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah,
but the newest thing.
One, two, three.
The newest thing is, you know, I heard your other caller who was gay.
Right.
And
you got an erection?
No.
Oh.
I'm not worried about getting an erection. I'm worried about getting an erection over something gay.
Yes.
I never really have.
We're all worried.
All right, here's the deal.
I just get anxious, and I think I got an erection, even though I didn't, you know?
Jason, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You're not gay.
I know that.
Okay. You have OCD.
Yes.
You're still having symptoms. You need to talk to the doctor about adjusting your medication.
Well, I don't think that'll help, though. I'm on 100 milligrams of Zoloft.
All right.
You need to
Zoloft. Actually, Prozac is actually a little more powerful. Luvox. There are other things that might be more effective for you.
Would it help if you ate tomatoes?
Pomegranates. Do you see a psychiatrist or an internist?
I see a psychiatrist and a PhD.
All right, you need to get back to the psychiatrist and talk about maybe a shift in the medication.
I tell you PhD, you've got OCD,
is there any reason
but you're not GAY.
What brought this about?
Yes.
What brought this about? What made it so that it was these two things, religion and gay?
God hate you.
It may just be your biology. Talk to this therapist. Maybe he has some other ideas.
We got to go to a break.
About what's causing this.
All right, we'll go to a break. We'll be right back with Loveline. Well, that's it, Drew. It's Loveline.
I think I'm going to shed a tear here.
Thank you. I enjoyed my time. I think we helped a lot of people. I think we saved a lot of lives.
Maybe we should get you on the line tomorrow night when Adam comes back, just to really sort of
I would
press
be happy
the point
to
about the teary.
Talk about Adam's, his newfound sensitivity. I wonder if he's going to be a new man when he comes
tears
in
of
here
a clown.
Tomorrow.
I think that'll be the name of tomorrow night's show.
Yes.
That'll be the title.
Can you get that? Can you get that song? And
tears
then every time, and it, da, da, da,
ba, 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 ba.
Every time Adam goes
tears
into
of a clown.
one of his angry rants.
Yes, yes.
You can remind him.
Anderson, can we do that?
That he wept.
No.
Like a little
I've
girl.
Never heard of that song.
It's a Smokey
Seriously?
Robinson song.
Smokey who?
Smokey Robinson. Anderson, your ignorance is no excuse. Get the goddamn song. All right. You have that tomorrow.
That's right.
Thanks, Drew. Is that it?
That's it.
Let's say goodbye then.
You go ahead.
Goodbye. And mahalo.
Mahalo.
Too. All right.
Ooh.
So, you got a little ooh. You're definitely not bisexual if you're oohing about Adam's ass.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. For Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.